We'd like to apologize for the audio in this episode that you're about to hear. It was recorded in several areas using several different microphones, and we understand that it is not up to the usual quality of the show. So if you could bear with us, we'll get it right for the next episode. Thanks a lot. Hi, I'm Daryl, and I'm a meeting planner.
Hi, I'm Amanda, and I'm also a meeting planner. And this is Miracle Workers, a podcast for meeting planners by meeting planners.
Hey, Amanda, what's the best thing that you've ever seen at a meeting?
With or without clothes on? No, I'm kidding.
Oh, boy. It goes now. It's like the sweater conversation all over again. And kids, if you missed that one, go back a few episodes. We talked.
Go back and listen to it.
Amanda's sweaters.
So one of my meetings, like the best thing I've seen at my meetings.
Yeah. I mean, look, over the last few months, I've been to a few industry meetings and I've had some, we'll call them light bulb kind of moments.
40 watt or 75 watt?
That's good. I see you write your own jokes. 110 watts, right? With the LED floodlights.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
No, I mean, I'm talking about things like signage, booth layouts, activations. These are like things that I've seen and I've walked away from that. And I said, wow, I wonder if I tried something like that. It's inspiration.
Oh, so you've seen the sign.
I have. And it's opened up my eyes. But no more of that because we're going to get sued for copyright infringement.
But kind of, okay. So really it's kind of like your own. Are you doing like a mental, personal Pinterest for your meetings?
Yeah. I mean, look, have you ever been to a, even if it's not your meeting, like a wedding or a party or anything, have you seen something somebody else has done, you've used it for inspiration to make an element of your meetings even more impactful and that wow factor?
Well, I do have a couple. So one, my client does this, and I wish I could have every one of my meetings do this, but when I explain, you're going to see that it's really not replicable, but I'm going to talk about it anyway, because I love it so much. So one of my clients is Chorus America. So they are an association for choruses, but mostly people who manage choruses. There are some singers and stuff, but mostly, you know, the people who manage choruses. Mm-hmm. But every morning at their general session, they sing.
Ooh.
The whole group sings. It is so, and they always have somebody come in to teach them like a new song, how to sing it. They try different things and something, but it is amazing to have 350, 400 people in a room, all who don't know a song to begin with, and 5 minutes later are all singing it. And just in case you wonder, I do not sing along because I'm kind to my people. I stand in the back and kind of hum maybe or clap my hands or dance along. But, you know, before they ask me not to sing, I have not sung. They would tell me I could sing, but I can't, trust me on this one. So anyway, that is my, I love it so much. It's such a great idea, but maybe you can't do exactly that. You can't sing at your meeting, but my question is like, what is different and unique about your association that you could kind of really, or your organization that you could bring into your meetings, like in real life practice, right? Yeah. Like what, you know, or what's that? I mean, the thing I love about it is it's just so apolitical, right? There's nothing political about it. It's who can find fault in singing? I mean, that's, you know, and then it's up.
Well, you haven't heard me sing yet.
Well, again,
your client
people can find lots of fault in our singing, Daryl, but yes. Other people, you know. So that is, I just love it so much. And it's so like such a great, beautiful way to start a day of a conference. So
I love that idea. That's so nice.
Yeah.
You know, I saw something the other day. I was at the DC car show the other day, and I have a picture of this somewhere. I got to find it. It's a sign on the floor. It says lost children will be brought to room 209B or whatever it said. And I don't know why it struck me as odd, but because when I think about it, of course, the auto show, when it's full on a weekend, there's a bunch of, you know, bunch of people. It's literally thousands of people on the show floor and a lot of kids running around. Very easy to get lost and separated.
Of course.
And it's great that there is a central meeting place that parents can go. God forbid that should ever happen. However, in the moment seeing it, and I just said, I've never thought of that.
Right.
Now, I don't have any meetings that I can think of that have large populations of little children where that getting lost or separated from a parent could be a concern. But it's something that must happen for this event. And the event organizers addressed it not only by having a central space they can bring and a safe space they can bring the children back to, but also letting parents know this is where you can, you know, you go back. It's like a coat check almost, but children.
Wait, you didn't say that. You didn't say there was an option to just drop your kid off there and then come back. Maybe I could stand halfway down the hallway and be like, Johnny, go say you're lost.
Yes.
Just go to that room. Yes. Mom will be back in like 2-3 hours. Don't you worry about it.
That's how you get free for a nice quiet lunch. You go, you know, our kids, both of our families to children are grown enough that's not an issue anymore.
Yeah, but it is not. But I remember those days. So for you young parents, that's our tip for you today. just quote unquote, you can't see my error quotes, but lose your kid and then you could go have lunch with like a nice quiet, maybe a beverage. I don't know, you know, an adult beverage. No, but this takes me to an idea.
Yeah.
So, and I saw this and then have utilized it. I really think it's helpful, especially again in our COVID conscious world and just germs now. We're a little bit more aware of this, but went to a travel show. I just went with my family actually right before COVID. Like it was, I think, the last thing we did before we went on lockdown. And they had a speaker in the lobby before you got to check in, just on a loop of like, hi, this is what, welcome. Please, if you have pre-registered, go here. If you're just, so directions to kind of walk people through so that A, maybe now you don't need that person standing there, or maybe you still have a person standing there, but people are getting the information several different ways. Super inexpensive. I mean, it was one speaker with a pre-recorded loop. I'm sure somebody was just plugging in some kind of MP3 player or something. And super effective, super easy for giving any kind of crowd instruction or where you're moving people through or where people might be gathering and like kind of waiting for a while. You could be giving instruction pretty easily that way.
Well, that's cool.
I actually
saw something. So part of the discussion today was spurred by a couple shows that I've been to in the last few months. I've been to IMAX, went to IMAX Americas in Las Vegas in October. It was my first time ever at that show. And then I went to Columbus, Ohio a couple weeks ago to PCMA's Convening Leaders Program. And I've been there before, but this was, you know, every year there's something new. There's a couple of things I saw that were really unique that I love. And one of them was in, both have heavy weight is paid towards the show floor, towards the exhibits.
Sure.
At PCMA, I think they call it, I forgot what they call it, the hub or something like that. It's not supposed to be straight exhibit hall. You don't want to think of it like rows and rows. But one of the things I saw at IMAX was really cool. They had bins in the foyer, the pre-function space outside of the exhibit hall. And the bins were labeled supplies. And they said, just bring anything you have, pens, paper, binder clips, whatever, put it in here. And presumably they were able to donate that to what I would hope to be local charities or nonprofits who could use it. But you think about your trade show booth and how much stuff you bring with you. And you know, the last day you're just trying to give away every person that comes by, here, have a pen and 6 pieces of candy and 3 of these promo items because I don't want to ship them back. You know, trying just to come back as light as possible. And so here's an opportunity to donate that stuff so it doesn't go into somebody's pocket and then go home with them and then go in the trash.
Yeah.
I really like that. The other thing I liked was, and I think PCMA did this to an extent as well, there really weren't set booth sizes, as far as I could tell, especially at IMAX. It looked to be in IMAX like you booked square footage.
Okay.
And if you wanted 400 square feet, they give you 400 square feet, but it didn't necessarily mean that it was going to hit an aisle at just the right angle. So there were some booths that jutted out into aisles. Now, there was still a 10 foot or so, 20 foot aisle to be fire code in regulation with the fire code. But it looked like they sold the square footage as opposed to, you know, a straight 20 by 20 booth. And I appreciated that because it allowed the booth that wanted to be a little bit more open and creative to be so. And it allowed others that wanted to be just standard, have a desk and a couple chairs and a pop-up banner to do that as well.
Yeah.
The other thing they did though, is they marked, at least the way, what I noticed was they marked the addresses of the booth, you know, C42, D110, so on and so forth, instead of doing it above the booth where you're craning your neck up to see where you are in the big maze. And there's, you know, there's probably 400, 500 different exhibitors there. They put it on the carpet in front of the booth. So you knew you were in the D100 aisle.
Okay.
The E200 aisle. And you could, you knew you need to go to booth E232. So right. Just like a street that's in the E aisle, E200, E section, 200 aisle, left side of the street or right side.
That's
for
pretty cool.
Odd, or I may have mixed that right. up. But
okay.
It made getting to appointments a lot easier. And when booths are all, you know, 10, 20 feet tall, you can't see across the floor to see where that one right. booth is. So you're relying on these directions. You know, I'm talking about a massive exhibit hall. So I thought those were interesting, especially for bigger shows, to these kind of guide finders and pathway, you know, maps. It's, you know what I equated to, Amanda? Remember the episode of Friends where Joey, they were there in London and nope. Joey has to get into the map to see yep. where he is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I equated to. And I like when I can get into the map, so to say, and understand where I am, especially on a big floor where it's easy to get lost yeah. and get derailed from where you're intended to go.
Yeah. And overwhelmed too. I mean, when you have a sense of place, when you have a sense of just knowing how it's organized, your surroundings, et cetera, it's less overwhelming in that case.
I fully agree.
I have one more.
Yeah.
From one of my clients. So, you know, there is the forever, right? We have all seen this, which is you walk up to the microphone and you're the first speaker and you're clink, clink. Hi, everyone. You know, all of that stuff, right? Yeah. Waiting for everybody to quiet down. And, you know, I will say at the last meeting, I was just at in LA, I had to do some voice of God work. And Daryl, I was channeling the discussions that we have had about pronouns and things and no longer saying, you know, good morning, ladies and gentlemen. And right, we've learned this lesson, but I will tell you as an old dog, it's really hard to change. So my VOs pretty much went like this. It was, the thing came on and then I was like, please join us in the lobby. But it was this pause as yeah. in my head, I said, ladies and gentlemen, but I was not going to come out of my mouth. I was like, can't say it. So anyway, that's a side story. So sorry for that.
No.
But here is my solution for starting those sessions cold where, you know, somebody has to go up there and get the attention of the audience. A short video clip.
Oh, I love it.
1 minute or less. Most organizations have some kind of promo, some kind of thing about what they do, about, you know, most people never see, right? Even their own members, it's buried on a website somewhere. Maybe you use it when you're making a pitch to a potential donor or something else. Put that up there. Cold. It just, lights go down, boom, video, rolls, as I said, a minute, maybe you can squeak out 90 seconds, maybe, but no more than that. That is a hard and fast rule from me. But it's really great to just quiet the room. Mm-hmm. And now, boom, you have everybody's attention. Person comes. And that speaker had better be at that lectern when that video ends. They're not walking up. They're not like halfway. Uh-uh. When that video rolls in the black, they're walking up. They stand there. Boom, video done. Lights come up. Speaker goes. Whole room has paid attention. People that were out in the hallway have been like, oh, wait, something's happening in the room. I better get in there. Mm-hmm. It is a really great way to kind of start your session, begin things, convey some information, even if you can. And in these days of iPhones and, all kinds of video editing software, and we learned to do a whole lot of that during COVID. So it shouldn't be a big deal for us to produce some kinds of some things to start out our day, our big sessions, or whatever.
And it's even if you don't have the tools, you think you don't have the tools, there are sites. Canva is a great example, the graphic editing site. Canva, this is our free pitch. We should be getting some paid for this. We're not.
Exactly.
Canva, canva.com. We'll put it in the links in the show description. But it's a website where you can edit and design graphics, kind of like a Photoshop, a little bit easier, kind of halfway between if anybody is old enough to remember print shop.
You're going way back.
but it has a video component too, and it has they have a footage library that you could use, or you could upload your own graphics and animate them, drop a sound, drop a narration like we're doing here over top of it, and you have a video. You do have to have some creativity, I guess, but you don't need to be specially classically trained in it to get it to work. So there are options out there. I agree with you. I love that. I want to touch one more item. I'd love to go deeper into production. I think that needs to be another episode. So it's
let's do an episode. I'm writing it down. Look, because we have great, this little behind the scenes, Darryl and I have good ideas, and then we don't write them down. And then later we're like, what should we do a podcast about? And we're beating our heads because we're not young anymore. And we can't remember. We have CRS, can't remember shit disease. And so, okay. So look, I'm writing it down. What am I writing down? Oh, production.
Production. That may have also been the first time we cursed on the podcast. So
it is not. It isn't. I've done it before. It was a minor one, Darryl. It's fine.
So what I wanted to touch on, though, non-production wise, was there is value. We talk about what we can learn from meetings. It comes from the smallest place. I was at Convening Leaders, and I went to a reception held by a city, Convention and Visitor Bureau. I won't say which one, but bourbon was the lead beverage. So I will let you at home.
You're about to tell a good story, I hope.
I'm at this reception, and they offered me a drink, and I said, thank you. And I saw a colleague of mine in the industry, and he invited me over to sit with him and chat, and he wanted a drink and goes up to the bar, and I didn't see what he ordered, but the bartender's shaking and grinding and pouring and garnishing. And he comes back with this really nice drink with a lemon wedge in it. And it looked very different than mine. And I asked him what he was drinking, and he said it was a mocktail or he likes to use non-alcoholic cocktail, which I actually like, as well as the beverage name of choice. But it got us into talking. So he doesn't drink anymore, which is perfectly fine. I think there's plenty of times that we go to these events and we think that we have to drink because everybody else is, and maybe you don't want to drink or can't drink for whatever reason. And it led into a discussion, and the discussion was, wow, that's a really great looking drink. I wonder if we could do this at a reception at one of my events. And that from there led, well, we can't just have one, because the biggest complaint that people who don't drink have is that they go to these events and there's like one thing that they can drink that's not alcoholic and not soda or water. I was like, that's a good point. I hadn't thought about that. From there, it led into, well, what if we did a reception without alcohol at all, with only three or four specialty cocktails, all non-alcoholic. And that was what the menu was. And you chose from those, or you had water or soda, and nobody has alcohol at the reception. You know, do we need alcohol? Is there not, don't we have enough problems as meeting organizers? We already have enough problems with worrying about over-serving somebody and the ramifications that come from that. And just the price, frankly, wow. I would imagine that in general, non-alcoholic cocktails would cost a little bit less, I'd hope.
Little.
And the conversation kept going and kept going until we eventually landed on, hey, what if we did a reception with non-alcoholic craft cocktails, signature cocktails, and all plant-based foods? So the past bites are not buffalo chicken, but they're buffalo cauliflower. The meatballs
Could be buffalo chicken. I was out of PBS and there's a show coming out. It's about the climate and about chicken and about how many chickens we have in our country, certainly, but even in the world. And there's a guy, he's on a thing to replace chickens with basically, plant-based
food. What if we could basically have a mock happy hour? And, we were kind of kidding about it, but I sat down and thought, the more I thought about it, I said, I wonder what that would look like. We talk about a couple of things around alcohol. We talk about price. We talk about liability. But what if we also talk about inclusion, right? We always want to try to make sure the dietary needs of our attendees are met. But what if we did it all, not healthy is not the word I'm looking for, right, but where we did it, where we were inclusive of everybody. And then if you want meat or you want an alcoholic drink, after the reception, you go and you go to the hotel bar and you get what you want. Right. I wonder what that would look like. And the idea there just sprung from a casual conversation over drinks at a reception. It's like, what power can we learn from somebody else's meeting?
Daryl, do you think they would, that my attendees might mock me for that?
Again, that's bad, Amanda. That's worse than bad. It's awful.
Sorry, I've been sitting on that the whole time you were talking. Bad. I had to finally get it out.
That's bad. But again, I think that these are just examples of what we can get. What I'd like to do actually is I want to take a quick break, and we talked to a couple planners right after IMEX last October and got their impressions. So let's hear from them in the next segment, and then we'll come back to wrap it up.
Sounds good.
So we did an interview back in October with Nathalie Johnson, the senior meeting manager at the American Association of Neurological Surgeons. And we had just come back from the IMEX Americas program in Las Vegas. And we asked her, what are one or two things that you really loved about the show?
So it's even like going back into the office. I think meetings are more productive in person. So it was great to have, short meetings with a bunch of industry partners. Since IMEX last week, I've been working on two contracts with different hotels that I interacted with on site, and just walking around and seeing, exhibits set up. I had never been to IMEX before, and just how the exhibits were set up and what the travel industry is doing at their shows. That's new and innovative, and chatting with planners that understand how hard the last 2 years are and how amazing it is to be back in person, having shows, and how some things have changed and how we've had to adapt, after the pandemic and with all of the shortages with staffing and those types of things. But to see the Mandalay Bay so busy was really fun and exciting.
And Nathalie, what are some things that just didn't live up to your expectations? Was there anything that you saw that wasn't what you had expected?
You know what? Coming in, I didn't really know what to expect. My boss has been to this show before, and she had to be in San Francisco for our sister organization's meeting during the same week. So she asked if I wanted to go. So I didn't really know what to expect. I came in Monday as well. I wasn't able to get to as much of the educational content as I wanted, just because of how my flying ended up happening. But overall, I think the whole thing exceeded my expectations. There wasn't really anything that disappointed me about the week. I thought the host that we had was really gracious and had a great place for us to kind of land, even if we arrived early and our rooms weren't ready. I thought the signage at the Mandalay Bay, if you came in on the convention center side, was great. When I was in earlier in the year, I had not been to Vegas until this year, so I've been there twice this year. I felt like I was always getting lost. And I like to think that after 20 plus years in the hotel industry, I'm pretty savvy at figuring out where to go, but I'm determined that the Las Vegas hotels want us to just get lost in the casinos. Over on the convention center side, I thought the signage was great. The feel and look of all of the activations that they had was fun. I really liked the buyer's lounge and the health area that they had. And just, you walked in and there was that huge sign that you could take a picture in front of the iconic Las Vegas sign. And then I did go to two of the MPI general sessions on Tuesday and Wednesday. I thought the speakers were great, very thoughtful presentations, and I really enjoyed the whole experience.
Now, there was a lot of things to see and people to talk to, but were there any things that really struck you that you could take away from a show like IMEX and add to your events for the future?
So one of the things that they had was the walking challenge, and PCMA is actually doing another one too. And they're doing it as a, you pay so much and it goes as a donation to their foundation. And I think, people are walking and exercising at shows. So I think that's something that we're going to talk about in our next meeting about, is that an opportunity? Just looking at some of the things that they had out in the hallway with regards to sponsorship opportunities, I really liked if you went down to the general session for the MPI speaker, they had a lit meter panel that had a really cool effect. And this year for our meeting, you get to the plenary session room through the exhibit hall. So just having that, different look and a light, I think would be a good kind of breadcrumb to get people into the general session. I also liked how they had really kind of, I don't want to say small, but they had smaller concessions kind of set throughout so that people didn't have to go to one area to get the concessions. And then around it, they had just cocktail rounds. And you saw a lot of people just sitting down there chatting and having a cup of coffee together. I liked how they had the stations for the where you could refill your water bottle. Next year we're in Los Angeles, and we've always done the 5-gallon jugs, but these were more the you put it under and it's censored. I think more and more people are bringing their own water bottle to as they travel and refilling them, which I think is environmentally important as well. And especially with the cost of food and beverage these days, any way you can not have to pay for those half-drunken bottles of water that end up in the trash, I think, is a benefit. And just some of the cool ways that they had the booths designed, really making the booth so you could sit down and have conversations. Excuse me. We are a medical show, and you know, a lot of our groups are showing their devices and those types of things, but it was cool to see where you're so many booths where it was meant to sit down and have, you know, 20, 30 minute conversations.
Let's take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to hear from Claire Abrams, who's an independent planner, on her experience at IMEX and what she got out of it. I'd like to welcome in my friend Claire Abrams, an independent planner, who attended her first IMEX back in October. Claire, tell us a little bit about your experience.
The first thing that crossed my mind was, look at all these people that were basically shut down to nothing during COVID. And look at how vast that population is and how they all came back even stronger and more enthusiastic. When I walked in and I saw those awesome big booths and the amazing studios inside and the graphics and the, that's what I just thought, like, look how universal our industry is and how it really was shut down to nothing and how it is completely building its way back fast and furious.
That's great. I love that. And I have to say that I probably had a similar experience. What was one thing? So you're back now. It's been about a week since you got back. What was something that you think exceeded your expectations? What was something that you weren't expecting to see?
I don't think that I expected to meet as diverse and as experienced of a group of suppliers and planners at IMEX. The trade shows that I sometimes attend, you know, it's people you know, it's people you've been on committees with, it's people you've done business with, and you kind of hop around and talk to people you know. At IMEX, from what I found being there, I met more people that I'd never heard of or seen before because it wasn't local. It wasn't just in Chicago or Greater Midwest chapter. At PCMA even, I do tend to hang out with people I'm most comfortable with and people that I'm friendly with. And at IMEX, I didn't go with anybody. And so I was very pleasantly surprised as to the caliber of planner and supplier there.
And you know, something you just said, Claire, that resonated with me before we started today, you know, you and I have known each other for about 2 years, but we met during pandemic, we met online. So this was the first time that I got to say hello to you in person. And I think there is something as wonderful as virtual is and these Zooms or Teams meetings that we can just jump on from anywhere in the world and see each other, when you are there in person and you can shake somebody's hand or give them a hug or like you and I have a drink together, it is really a powerful experience. And not for me, that was something I loved about it. What was something that maybe that didn't live up to your expectations? Something that you were expecting to see or expecting to experience and it just wasn't there for you?
I wasn't quite sure. I went as a hosted buyer and I wasn't quite sure what to expect from an IMEX hosted buyer experience. I loved that my badge said that I was a hosted buyer. I knew where I could go. I was kind of, they were checking if I could go into the hosted buyer lounge, that kind of thing. I did know what my hosted buyer was going to do to engage with me and have that conversation. I am not sure that most hosted buyers only expected, and not only, it was fine, but we had some plans for the Tuesday night and the plans kind of turned upside down. So what I thought I was doing Tuesday night and what was expected of me Tuesday night didn't end up happening. What was, you know, and things happen and we can all roll with the punches and it was still fun. I just don't know that my hosted buyer experience with my particular hosted buyer was as strong of an experience that I anticipated it to be. but I still learned about them. They still learned about me. I still made some connections. I went to a great off-strip restaurant that I would never have found without them. We had like a chef owner table, you know, and he kind of talked about the meal and his background, and it was phenomenal. It was a phenomenal experience. But as a whole, I'm not sure that the hosted by experience lived up to my expectations quite as much as I thought.
And that's okay. I mean, I think that I'm glad to hear you say that. I think that you know, I was a hosted buyer as well, and it for the most part exceeded my expectations. So I think it could be, you know, who you're there with and how much business you have with that organization. But I love the fact that there is so much offered to us, even though we're not paying our way, right? You know, come on in, we don't care who you are. And I think that there's the same for general attendees as well, as was my observation. So I'm interested that you said that. And I completely understand where you're coming from. Vegas, for me, is an intimidating city because there's just so much to do. And when you get down into it, right, like you have your convention experience, right? We were in Mandalay Bay, and you're in the trade show hall the whole day, and then you come out and you have all these other things lined up. I'm like a squirrel, a dog following a squirrel there. It's, you know, we're walking down the strip to dinner, and all of a sudden, oh, look, what's over there? Look at that light over there. So it can be intimidating. Hey, Claire, what lessons do you take away from IMEX? What's something that you think you could apply to one of your clients' events that you know, maybe something you saw or you didn't see at IMEX, you know, that could play forward to one of your clients' events?
I took so many pictures, Daryl. My brain was spinning, and my eyes were popping all over the place. And I'm thinking, oh my God, this is, you know, I know that, you know, this may not be realistic, but how cool would it be if we could take this lounge idea and incorporate it into our exhibit hall? And what a great idea it would be to have more seating around, you know, the session so people can collaborate there. You know, I think of all the pictures I took, and I took a lot of pictures, the pictures that I've shared the most were the different dedicated spaces to different types of attendees. At my main client, being independent, I have a few clients, but my main client I've been with for 5 years, and we do have the ability to change ideas and change and experiment each year. Of the pictures I took, the pictures that I have shared most and I think that I can use most is that dedicated seating. Is there a student lounge? How is that? What do we offer them? Look at that health and wellness section that we had at IMEX. You could go in and do a meditation session at set times. You could get a neck massage. You could go and do some independent yoga. That was really a cool idea that I think we can incorporate at one of my clients' meetings. I loved how the hosted by a lounge had different seating pods. There was different types of seating. It was kind of lower to the ground. You felt more grounded every time I wanted to meet with somebody, if they were hosted by it was a great space to go to. They had little, you know, bananas and coffee for breakfast. It wasn't like this big, huge ordeal. It was easy, grab and go. It felt calming in there. There was good soft lighting. And actually I was just with my client yesterday and I shared these pictures, and we are going to incorporate some of the ideas on a smaller scale within our exhibit hall area that we are trying to kind of grow and enhance a little bit. So I also thought the signage throughout IMEX was great. The branding was very strong. It was the buses. It was the entrance unit. It was, you know, the coffee cup. Everything along the way was very well branded. The signage, the wayfinding. I'm a little bit with you with the Vegas being overwhelming. But I felt that IMEX did a really good job of making it smaller and more manageable. The wayfinding between the convention center and the actual Mandalay Bay, that was easy. It was just down one tunnel, but there was great signage and branding. There were people in all the hotels with signage, little handheld signs. This is where you check in, welcome. This is where the buses are. Can I help you with your luggage? This is where you check it. All with these little handheld signs with the IMAX branding. I thought that was very well done.
I love that, Claire. I do. And funny, the one thing I was going to say about the experience for me was the areas, the seating areas, or sorry, the separate areas they had. The hosted buyer lounge was great. I didn't partake in the breakfast there. I did have the coffee. What I appreciated about the areas, and one thing I wanted to play forward, is I love the lunch area. So for those that weren't there that didn't see it, they had kind of grab and go lunch areas on either side of the convention center or the convention hall we were in. And they separated it out by using a green carpet, almost like an AstroTurf looking carpet. And then they set up picnic tables. So you go down the food lines, get your food, pay for it, and then you'd sit at these picnic tables. And they brought in fake topiaries. And everything looked really, you know, it felt like you were having a picnic outside. And I love that concept, especially when you're in that windowless, you know, space for so long, you know, 8-10 hours a day. Having that kind of feeling of a little bit of space, a little bit of fresh air was really nice. For me, you know what I took away, Claire? It's the people. Everybody was so friendly and so excited to be there, even towards the end of the second day when we'd already been at the, in the hall for almost 20 hours total.
Yeah,
you
know, right.
Everybody was smiles, and not just the salespeople, not just the people who you're happy to take your money, but individual planners in the hosted buyer lounge, right? There was you sit down with two other people at around a coffee table just because you're looking for a seat. And everybody's like, yeah, sure, come on down. Nobody gave you the dirty look, even if they were on the phone.
Absolutely.
So I think it speaks volumes for the planning of IMAX. And I think it also speaks volumes to the way our industry, how we look after each other within our industry, that we have the opportunity to benefit from each other's, both our experiences, our knowledge, experiences and shared knowledge, but also our general, camaraderie. I think there's a lot of value in that. So that's what I took away. I loved it.
I did too. I definitely left on a branded bus back to the airport and felt energized and positive and very grateful that I got to experience it. And I will do everything in my power to go again next year and the year after. I speak highly of it to personal friends and to colleagues over the last week. And I would encourage people to try it, you know, not to shy away from, oh, it's so many appointments or, oh, it's so long on your feet. I did not feel that. I thought it was very doable and it was fun and it was upbeat. The upbeat energy, the vibe in that exhibit hall and around was, I thought was superior. I thought it was great.
I love it. I love that. I love that take on it. It's, by the way, if you are a company that, even though this is a podcast for meeting planners and by meeting planners, if you are a company that does hosted buyers, we can connect you with Claire for next year so that you can invite her to join you, because she'll make you proud. She'll make you proud to wear your name on her back.
Thanks, Daryl.
What I'm here for. I'm a people person, and we could do it without nice folks like yourself.
Well, thank you. I think our industry is very has a very bright future, and what a huge turnaround in a very short time. It was excellent. I think more people should see that, because I think it would pump a lot of people up.
I love it. I love it. Well, Claire, thank you so much for joining us. And, we greatly appreciate it. And we hope to see you on a future episode.
Absolutely. Happy to be here and to help.
Amanda, I am inspired all over again.
Me too. There are some great things being done out there today. And I love how we can draw inspiration from each other. It's one of the things I love about our industry. It's really very collaborative.
I agree. You know, I think the big takeaway is it's okay to look at what others are doing and adopt those things that you think are going to work in your event. The one area I think we didn't touch on that I'd want to recognize now is you do need to know your audience and their risk tolerance level. You know, how open to change are they? Yeah. And, you know, we all have clients that are, some clients are just give me whatever you can, and others are, We don't want to change a thing. It's worked well for the last 35 years.
Always done it this way. We will always do it this way. Yes. But, you know, it's okay. You know, some are big, give me everything, and others not so much. But I have another takeaway from this, which is, and you know, it's so funny, Daryl, because you ask me this all the time. I get these nice messages like, hey, are you going to IMAX? Are you going to Convene? Are you going to this? Are you going to that? And what's my answer? Always.
No,
I'm not. And that is because you all know I work for myself, right? So every penny I spend, there's no organization behind me sending me to any kind of professional development or anything else. So for a long time, I've just been like, no, expensive, not going to do it. No. And what this particular podcast has made me realize is I need to do those things as exactly that, as not only professional development for myself, but also to keep my business growing so that, again, not even making new clients, but gathering those ideas, seeing what's on the cutting edge. If I'm not out there, if I'm only looking at my own stuff, well, then I'm only going to know to do the stuff I know how to do or that I've seen or maybe somebody told me about. But getting out there, seeing what other people are doing, going to these things, talking to other professionals really is a way to serve my own clients. And it's worth the investment. So I need to make that investment.
And I think that's a wise choice. And the other thing I would say that especially to the independent planners who don't work, or if you work for an organization that does not freely support your professional development, it doesn't mean you've got to get on a plane and go to Las Vegas and, you know, and spend a week at a hotel and all the money and cost that goes along with that. Look in your own city to see if there are, you know, more regional conferences or more regional opportunities, but talk to other planners. You know, there's wonderful online groups where you can do this and you can get that inspiration. And the other part is when you've done something that you think is particularly good, share it. Yeah. Go ahead and post it online, post it on, you know, LinkedIn or Twitter or Pinterest, as evidently I read.
Or our Facebook groups. I mean, we have some fabulous, fabulous industry, you know, meeting planner Facebook groups that are so helpful. And, you know, those things thrive when we all contribute to them. So sharing our ideas. I know that it is more difficult for some of us now to get out of the house post-COVID. I know that, you know, fears about travel, about getting sick yourself, those kinds of things, that's obviously important. But I think we also just have been lulled into this sense of inaction, right? Of just, you know, it takes more energy. It takes more everything to get out. But I think it is entirely worth it.
I would also say, you know, I talked about it earlier. I went to the DC Auto Show and got some, you know, hopefully finding lost children.
No, but that little car, Daryl, I saw your post. Please tell me that little car.
I will tell everybody about the canoe later. Very excited when that shows up.
My Jeep could run over that thing in about 2 seconds.
Oh, yes. Yes. It is light and it's electric and it's wonderful. But I mean, you can go to that stuff. You can go to a wedding. You can go to a restaurant that maybe has some interesting decor and that sparks an idea for you. Like I said, I think all of this change can be good. There are things that we all know we do well, and there's always things that we know we could do better in. And I think where we find that inspiration to do better for our clients, for our attendees, for those of us dealing with members, even for ourselves, I think there's a lot of value there. Now, we do like change here at Miracle Workers. And you know, if you want to change things up, how about you send us an email? Because it's been... I mean, I know we haven't been on the air much lately, but it's been like, you know, tumbleweeds crawling through our Gmail account. Yeah, that's a tumbleweed sound. Very
tumbleweed sound. See,
very good, Amanda.
Thanks. That's my next career.
So, if you have a something cool that you've seen at a meeting, or even an idea for a future episode, drop us a line. The email address is miracleworkerspodcast@gmail.com. Don't forget, we're also on Twitter at MW the podcast. And don't miss a single new episode if you head over to anchor.fm, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcast style audio materials. Click the subscribe button. If you're on Apple, leave us that wonderful 5-star review that you know you want to leave us. And I think that's it.
I think that is everything for this week. So let's do our virtual high five sign off.
Thanks for the great episode, Amanda. I'm going to see you at the next one.
Thanks, everybody.